exciting part. I can tell you whenever I felt called to go all the way through Revelation, Revelation 22 was the part that I just was looking forward to. And I had to get through all that destruction and all the other stuff to get here. And so I'm so happy we've made the journey. We are to the New Jerusalem now. This is what we're looking forward to. Brother Bill. Amen. He's our fountain of youth. He is that fountain they were all sort of looking for, I suppose. But the problem is, so often we want the eternal life, but we just don't want to submit to Jesus. And that's a problem. We can't have it that way. That's why all this gets played out throughout Revelation is to show us that the only ones that are getting to this throne are the ones who have chosen to be there through Christ. It was his sovereign work that brought us to that. But at some point, even with his sovereign work drawing us, we have to come to the point where we say, I want Jesus more than anything. Have you said that? Have you personally said, I want Jesus more than anything? Because really, that's the essence of salvation. I want Jesus more than life. And then whenever you get to the end of this road and you see Jesus, you're going to find life. And it will not disappoint you. When we read these verses in chapter 22, we're especially going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5. Let's all stand for a reading of these verses of Scripture. Revelation 22, 1 through 5. And he showed me pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Can we say hallelujah now? No more curse. Praise the Lord. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They shall need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign, how long? Forever and ever. Woo! That is some good stuff. And we'll go ahead and read verse 6 too. I just love God's word. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we look at these words, we know that this is faithful and true because it comes from you who are faithful and true. Lord, my heart grieves for so many people that thinks that the Bible is just a fairy tale or some flawed book. Lord, I used to be one of those. Forgive me. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have shown me unequivocally without any doubt that the Scripture is true. That it's true because of the source of this Bible. You are the source. And as we see here, we understand you are the source of life. So, Lord, I pray that as we look at this, our faith in you would just grow. We become more firm, more solid, the foundation of our life. That we would put every bit of our faith in you, and we would go forward with you, looking forward to what lies ahead. Thank you, Lord, that you rescued me from what was behind. I don't need to look back anymore other than to remember what you've rescued me from. Now I get to look forward to your great plan for me. Thank you, Jesus. Now use me. It says that they will be serving you. Let us serve you now. Bless this church as we read these words today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all have a seat. As we look at this, I realize, you know, water. Man, it was hot yesterday, was it not? It was hot yesterday. And I always think, I need to get used to this, and I'm just not sure that I can. I've been experiencing it now for 50, almost 6 years, these hot summers. But you know one thing that makes it so much better is when you get that cold drink of water, amen? It feels like it puts life right back into you. In fact, people can't live without it. You know, we've got a lot of animals on our farm. Even the animals can't live without it, right? First thing you need to check to make sure that that animal could survive that hot day is that they got water. They need water. We realize that this water is important. Well, this water that Jesus has is even more important. This is the water of life. There's life in the water that flows from his throne. That pure water of life. The river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from where? The throne of God and of the Lamb. Life flows from his throne. And it's represented here in this water that's clear and crystal clear. You know, one of the reasons why this area was settled is because of all the beautiful springs around here. There are springs that were here that they didn't have to dig deep and try to find, you know, water. They had water resourced right to them because we need water for life. This water is even more important because God is the source of life. And right from his very throne flows this water, this river. Unlike other rivers, in fact, other descriptions that, you know, everything that God does is just so supernatural, right? So sometimes we try to compare it to just what is natural, but it always falls on its face when we look at the natural things because God is supernatural. This water brings forth like eternal life to us. Do you realize that Jesus said that if we believed in him, he would make us like these springs of living water? Do you realize that you actually are like given the power of God to extend the offer of this living water to others? You have this ability through the Holy Spirit that lives in you through a relationship with Christ. We don't have to wait. Sure, we'll get the full experience then. But don't you want that living water to flow through you? We need to clean up our lives so that God can do that, don't you think? Not just so that I, you know, can save myself, because I can't save myself, but I can tell you one thing. He's not going to flow clean, spotless, clear water through a dirty vessel. He's wanting to clean us up so that that water can flow through us clear, like we are a conduit. And what we realize is we can't manufacture this. It comes straight from the throne of God. And it is just brought to life in Revelation chapter 22. This is what we have to look forward to. But we get to experience a little bit of it now. Have you ever had God do something through you that had eternal value in another person's life? And that is just an amazing experience. You know what I'm saying? So we were worshiping here this morning in the songs. And I'll tell you, I just, whenever we sing the old Rugged Cross, I just can't get past it. I can still hear my grandma behind me singing it. I can still hear my dad in his last days. The last time he got to come to church, he couldn't speak anymore because the disease that he had taken his speech. But do you know he still was singing this song? He just couldn't say the words. I can still hear my mom standing beside him. Now they're all there with him. And I just heard of another saint from Sandy Baptist Church that passed recently, Jack Basham. I don't know, anybody that went to Sandy would have to know Jack. Jack was just one of the dearest Christian men that I've ever known. Huge in my, you know, coming closer to God as I went to that church. And he said not a whole lot. He was kind of a quiet man, but a very gentle, loving guy that was just very kind. And I praise God. I can still hear him singing that song as we went to that church together. And it just reminds me that there's going to be a great reunion in heaven. There's going to be a great reunion where we're all going to be worshiping God around the throne. And whenever we finally come to this point of the New Jerusalem, we're all going to be around that throne. Amen? And that'll be awesome. Everybody who knows Christ. We also have a tree there. A tree. It's the tree of life. There's healing and life in its fruit. And I'll tell you what, this must be some kind of a tree because we've got the living water there. It's flowing from the throne of God. And in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, are you kind of getting a picture here? This thing's huge. This is huge. There's enough healing here for all the nations who are coming out of all this tribulation and making it to this perfect place. God has the perfect medicine. If we look, it comes straight from the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. I don't know exactly how to explain that to you. I'm not sure exactly what that all means. I just believe it's true. And I'm going to have to wait to fully see it. It sounds different than the fruit trees I have. I'm lucky to get fruit one time a year. It's a trial to get fruit off of those things. This tree is going to be so abundant in fruit. God is fruitful. Fruitfulness is life. God has this for us. Each tree yielding its fruit every month, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Some would say, well, does that mean there's going to be pain in heaven? No, I think we're coming, and we're coming out of pain, and he's going to heal it all forever. Praise the Lord. Whatever pain you may be experiencing now, no matter how intense it was at some point or is even now, I can tell you God's got the remedy for it. You're not going to have to deal with it forever. You just put your faith in him, and when you get there, there's the perfect solution, the perfect healing. You see, God, this was God's plan from the beginning. You know, it isn't like we got the God of the Old Testament who was a mean God. I've heard people say that. He was a God of punishment. He was really mean. Now we got the God of the New Testament. No, he's the same God. It's always been in his intention to give us this life. In fact, I can prove it to you. Right there, Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. You know, we get the picture here that he's explaining in Revelation 22 that it seems like this tree is right there in the midst, right? It's like you got the road and the river, and you got this tree on both sides of the river. It's in the midst. It's in the middle. It's right there where his throne is. It's always been his plan. In fact, whenever he planted Adam and Eve there before the fall, here was the tree of life, and he was saying, you can eat from it now. But they chose rather to follow the enemy and eat from the other tree, right? What was the other tree's name that they ate from? Y'all remember? The knowledge of good and evil. What was it that the enemy kind of used to talk them into it? He said, oh, God's just holding out on you. Well, I can tell you, a God that would give us the same tree of life in the beginning that he brings back in the end for us to have, that's not a God that's holding out on us. God will give us everything that we need in between if we just look to him. But you see, they began to mistrust God, and that's where that fall came from. They went and ate from that tree that was in the garden. That's it, that, you know, he had this plan for us. And he wanted us from the very beginning to be able to take forth from that tree of life. But also, there was that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what? Praise God that in all of this, God is going to remove that curse, because that curse came forth because of eating from the wrong tree. And he's going to get rid of the sin, and then he's already paid the price for it, so that when we get back, when we go to that perfect place in Revelation 22 with him, we're going to be able to partake of that tree that he originally intended us for, that tree of life. You see, there's life also in serving him. That part jumped out and grabbed me. Did it jump out and grab you as we read through Revelation 22, now up to verse 3? And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Guys, it is a gift to serve God. You see, it's going to be part of eternity that we'll be serving him forever. And now today, so often we're so much about ourselves that it's like, oh, I have to serve God. No, you don't have to. In fact, if that's how you feel about it, he don't even want your service. He wants you to serve him out of joy. If you look back, there was this little catchy area whenever they were being punished in that 40-year time coming across the wilderness, and God told them why they were being punished, and he said that first generation was not going to get to enter the promised land, and one of the reasons was partially because of the doubt, lack of faith, disobedience, but he said, and you didn't serve me with joyfulness of heart. Man, I'm going to tell you, that convicts me. Because sometimes I could be serving and almost be going, hey, you know, wait a minute, maybe I should be using this time just for myself. No, it's for us that we get to serve God. And we can see the proof of it in Revelation 22, because only those things which are perfect are allowed in this place, and serving God is one of them. So when we serve God, I'm telling you, he flows life into us. Amen? Have you ever experienced that? Like, you're just too tired to do it, and you get that phone call, and you need to, and the next thing you know, God just flows a little extra life into you for it. He gives you that extra boost, that energy where you no longer just dragging like you were when you walked in the door in the first place. Whatever it may be, don't be afraid to give it to God, because God wants to give you something that you can't receive any other way. Man, God is awesome, and he never lets us down. He has got a plan in all of this. There is life in serving him. This is all about life in Revelation 22. The next part there, you know, just remembering that there's going to be no more curse. You just remember, how did we get this curse in the first place? This wasn't God said, well, I'm going to make people, and I'm just going to make it really hard on them for a whole bunch of years, and it's just, you know, this capricious act of just making us have to live a really hard and toilsome life. No, that wasn't his first plan. You see, his first plan was that we could be there with the tree of life, eat from the tree of life. But it was sin that brought the curse. That next slide, sin brought that curse. In Genesis 3, 22 through 23, we can see, then the Lord God said, behold, man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So was God just trying to keep something away from man there? No, he was trying to keep man from being forever stuck in a sinful state. He was trying to keep man from eating of the tree of life while he was a sinner and getting stuck like that. Brother Bill? Amen. Wasn't that a good thing that he did, keeping us from going that route? Some would say, why would God withhold the tree of life from him? Because he didn't want us to get stuck in that state. He wanted us to wait until Jesus had come, give our life to Christ, have our sins paid for, removed, and then enter into heaven, cleansed, perfect. able to partake of the tree of life and live forever in that state. Thank God he is a kind and loving God. You see, sin brought that curse. Don't you blame that on God. It was our sin. We're going to be able to see his face in heaven. Can you say amen to that? Praise the Lord. We're going to get to see his face. You know what? Life is in his presence. Life is in his presence. Next slide. Revelation 22:4, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There's life in being able to see the face of God, being able to be in his presence. If you seek his face now, you shall see him forever. If you seek his face now, next slide, yes. You shall see him forever. Look at some of the Psalms, and you'll see that phrase by seeking his face. Psalm 105, 3 through 4, glory in his holy name. Let hearts of those who rejoice, who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. We're going to get to be able to actually behold his face forever. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He has a good plan, doesn't he? In fact, Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know why we can't see him yet? Because our heart's not pure yet. He's working on it. But the minute we cross over and we're fully purified, then we'll be able to see. If we saw him now, you might think he's holding out on you, but it would destroy us. He's so holy. He's so much different than what we realize, so much better, purer, that it would destroy us. You see, he is, not just that he has, but he is light and life. Revelation 22:5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. This is exactly what David was hoping for whenever you look at Psalm 36:9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. David was hoping. He has hope in Christ. Remember, he's a forerunner. In fact, Christ is called the Son of David, meaning he's Messiah who came through the line of David. And this type of Christ, David, was reminding us that this day would come where he's literally understanding that he is the fountain of life. Remember we started out talking about a fountain of life, fountain of youth? Many people were looking for it. It's found in Christ and him alone. And you know what? Ultimately, we just need to wait on his return. We need to keep ourselves for him, don't we? That's really the key. It's just waiting, being patient, keeping ourselves only for him and him alone. Look at Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Uh-oh. That one always stops me. I don't like tribulations. How many of you guys like tribulations? You go out in the first part of the morning, you go, man, I hope I have a really good tribulation today. Well, now my question is going to be, can you see God anyways in the midst of a tribulation? Can you be willing to say, the next time I'm in a tribulation, I'm going to look for what God may be doing here, and I'm going to seek his blessing in that tribulation? Can you agree to that? Raise your hand if you can agree to that. Come on. I need more hands up. I'm going to ask for a little commitment here, church, because we are committed body of Christ together. You see, that it transforms our life when we can look for Christ in the tribulation. This whole thing of having this dual thing going on, well, God only gives good things and the devil only gives bad things, sometimes we end up getting caught up in that mindset that we don't look for Christ in the tribulation and what he's wanting to teach us. So we need to understand he's sovereign. That means nothing happens to us that doesn't flow through him first. And so if he allows a tribulation, it's because he wants to do something in us that he couldn't do any other way. He's not going to take us through something that is completely wasted. So whatever your tribulation in life is right now, I want to reassure you, God still has a good plan for you. And he wants to bring something good through it. So listen to that again, verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Amen? Perseverance. That means keep on keeping on. Once you've been through tribulation, it's a lot harder to stop you after that. Because you've been proof tested now. Your steel is harder. It's stronger. Now you can keep on. And perseverance, character. So as you persevere, you're going to gain character. And character, hope. Oh, and listen to this. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Praise Jesus. If you're a Christian, you look forward to what we see in Revelation 22 because you will experience it. And if you're not a Christian yet, don't expect to see it. Because I'm going to tell you, everything's settled by this point. Only God's children are going to be there. We're going to read that next week. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, I just want to thank you that you've got a good plan for your children. And in your good plan, it does require that we get through some tribulations now. But it's all in a preparation for being in a perfect place with the perfect God, being finally made perfect ourselves so that we can appreciate what you have done forever and ever and ever. I remember a time in the Bible whenever David was in a time of trial, King David, his sin had caused the whole people of Israel to be under a plague. It was the unholy census. And it came down to providing a sacrifice to take away that punishment that they were under. And he wanted to have a place to do that, which later on became, I believe, that the late Solomon's temple being built there. But he went to buy that location, and the gentleman who owned it said, "Here, I'll give it to you." But David said, "Should I give to God something that cost me nothing?" He understood something there, that for us to serve the living God, even if it costs us something, that just makes it worth more to us. Anything that's worth having is worth struggling through and for. So help us, Lord, to see. Whenever it feels like it's costing us something, maybe that just means that the fruitfulness will be even greater. Help us not to despise those days of tribulation. Help us that it would produce in us perseverance and character and a greater level of hope. Because that hope will not disappoint. Help us, Lord, to fully surrender our lives to Jesus. If we've already done it, it's okay to recommit our life again today. If we haven't already done it, then help us to consider the only way we'll ever see this promise of Revelation 22 is if we belong to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.